I'm glad to see all of you today. I know the flowers are in memory of Brenda Jackson, and we lost a dear sweet lady, and she's home in heaven today, and I envy her, don't you? I thought at first I was preaching a funeral, and when I looked at some of you, I was convinced. Don't take that personally. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and two verses, verse 11 and verse 12. 1 Kings, chapter number 19, verse 11 and verse 12. While you're turning, let me kind of tell you a little background. This is the time when Elijah the great Tishbite, the great man of God, my hero in the Old Testament is Elijah the Tishbite. My hero in the New Testament is Paul the Apostle. And when I get an opportunity to speak about those men, I'm elated, I'm happy. But you know, Elijah was, the book of James tells us, was a man of like passions. In other words, he was just human being like you and me, subject to failure, subject to victory, subject to sin. He had had a great and mighty victory upon the mount when he met the prophets of Baal, and God brought down fire and gave him the great victory. Jezebel produced a word to him and said, I'm coming after you, I'll have your head. And Elijah got in the flesh and he fled from the Lord. The Lord finds him under a juniper tree. And he says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah goes on to explain how he's been faithful and true to him. And in the sense of the word, I'm the only one left. And God said, get up off your face, Elijah. I still have 7,000 that has not once bowed their knee to Baal. But he said, I want you to do something. I'm going to feed you, and then I want you to take a 40-day journey to Mount Horeb. And Elijah is there. So let's go yonder to Mount Horeb and see what God says to Elijah. He's in a cave. And God comes to him and he says to him in verse 11, and so he said to go forth and stand when the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and it brake in pieces a rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And so we come this morning. Sometimes we come into the sanctuary of the Lord, and we are filled with such clamor. We've been trying to make decisions all week long. We've got ourselves in an uproar. We come in sometime our nerves are on an edge. Sometimes we're not happy. Sometimes we put on a face. And I think it's good sometime when we come into the house of the Lord, instead of doing a lot of visiting and backslapping, that we come in and sit down and quiet our spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. The Holy Spirit is not in the wind, the roaring, mighty wind that can move trees out of their place and disturb the rocks. God said, I'm not there. I'm not in all the noise and the clamor and all that show. I'm not there. It's too busy. It's too loud. You cannot hear me. But he said, neither am I in the earthquake. We've seen what devastation earthquakes do. It moves mountains and reroutes rivers. It can do anything. It's mighty powerful. God said, you would think I would be there, but God said, Elijah, I am not in the earthquake. And a roaring fire, you know, we've seen the fires and they roar. There's a mighty voice in those flames. And God said, even though they can devour so many things, look at the fire and hear the noise and see the destruction. But Elijah, I am not in the roar of the fire. But he said, I'll tell you where I am. I want you to get very quiet. I want you to sit alone as you meditate on my things. I want you to get by yourself in a quiet time. And I want to let the peace of God come over me. And he said, Elijah, I want you to listen very carefully. Because if you're not paying attention, You will miss what God has to say to you. I am that still, small voice that speaks to you. May we pray. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you, I pray, Lord, we'll sit just a moment. And as we sit and reflect, why am I here? Why did I come to this place this morning? Did I come to see old friends? Did I come to fellowship? Did I come out of a sense of obligation and responsibility? Or did I come to God's house to worship Him in spirit and truth? Did I come to sit still and let the Holy Spirit through His Word speak to my heart? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about this subject, the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. We do not hear a lot of sermons these days on the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "When I go away, I will send the Comforter." In fact, what he said, "I will go away to my Father, and I will send a part of me back to you." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus came down in this world, was in a human body, and he himself comforted every one of those around him. As they came to him, he met all their needs. He gave them the power to go out and witness for him. He was there. They could bring any problem to him, and he was their comforter. And yet he says to his disciples, "When I go away, I will send a comforter. I will send the comforter. I will send a part of myself, because I am God, a very God. I will send a part of myself back to you. I will send a comforter, not a confuser. I will send the comforter, not a consoler. I will send my person in the form and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you will not see him. You could touch me when I was here. You could see me when I was here. But you cannot see the Holy Spirit. You cannot feel the Holy Spirit with your hands. But you can know that the Holy Spirit is in you." And so God says to his servant in the Old Testament, "I am not in all of these things of the noise. I am that still, small voice." In fact, if you listen and read the Word of God, you will understand that God is saying that I am sending the Spirit of the living God to live in you, and he will be in what we hear in the Greek, the Parakletos. He will come alongside of you. He will be in you, but he will be aside with you, and he will help you in all things. But you must listen to him. And so let's look at what says. Look at John chapter 14 and verse number 16. This is just before Jesus is going away. And he said, "When I go away, I will send the Comforter." Look at verse number 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." He never leaves you. He never forsakes us. Do you get what he said? "I will send the Parakletos. I will send that one who will come alongside of you and help you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will impress you. He will urge you. He will prick your conscience." Someone says, "Well, I've always taken this click, this cachet. I've always taken this position that I just let my conscience be your guide." You are a fool. Your conscience cannot be your guide. The devil can speak to your conscience, and you will be led astray. The Holy Spirit can speak to your conscience, and he can bring conviction and convincing to you. He can urge you. You cannot let your conscience be your guide. As a child of God, you must let the Holy Spirit be your God. And the guide that He will give you, the guidance is that He will lead you into all truth. It is something for a lost person that does not know Jesus Christ. He can sit down and try to read and understand the scripture, and it is foolish to him. It is not anything that he can understand. He can understand the meaning of the words, but he does not get the message from God. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit sheds his brilliancy of his light on this word, and he is the discerner of what the God of heaven is saying to his child. You must have the Holy Spirit to enlighten this word of God, that we might be strong, that we might be usable. I assume in this crowd this morning that most people here are saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. There may be some in this group that has never received Christ. I'm going to say to you, something has brought you back here this morning. It was not necessarily yourself or your friend. You came because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your conscience. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you to where the Word of God is proclaimed. We have heard it in the singing that we proclaim our worship and our service and our all to our God. Holy, holy, holy. And then we have heard Brother Teddy sing that beautiful song. We were out and lost and away, and God brought us in. And God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to your heart this morning. Do not turn him away. Do not say no. And I can say to every child of God here, if God is speaking to your heart, do not sear your conscience. Do not say no. Do not turn a deaf ear. You're not hurting anyone but yourself. God sitteth above the circle of this world and knows the goings on of every human being. He's brought us all here this morning to hear the Word of God. And we that are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Holy Spirit interprets to us what God wishes us to understand and to know. And Jesus said to them, I will send another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, knoweth him not. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I love to read those statements when Jesus says, I will be with you. I will walk alongside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is here this morning. The Bible tells us that where two or more are gathered in his name, the Holy Spirit says, I am there in the midst. Jesus said, I am there. God said, I'm there too. Can you imagine this morning that God is here? But wait a minute, we have another person that is here this morning. His name is Lucifer. We know him as the devil. He's in the attendance of every church that meets across this land today. He's there where they preach the gospel. He wants to watch you. He wants to see how you react. He wants to find a flaw, Christian, in your life, a little crevice where he can get in, and he begin to beguile you and lead you astray. That's why you must attune your heart to listen to what the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind and to your heart this morning. And Jesus said, I want you to know, I will not leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. And so he revealed himself to Elijah. Now he reveals himself to you and me. He says to you and me, I will be in you. The Bible says, if we have not the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, we are none of his. Do you have the Spirit of God? Have you ever taken the Word of God and sat somewhere in a very quiet place? You have dismissed everything from your business, from your life, from your family, from what you want, from what you don't want, and you find a very quiet place. God brought Elijah up to a very quiet place, way up on Mount Horeb. And there he brought him to a cave. And God passed by Elijah. And God said, I will speak to you with a small, still voice. Elijah, if you are thinking about all the things that happened previously, you cannot hear me. Some of you came in here this morning bearing a burden, and you did not take the burden and set it down, but possibly you did. Maybe you sat down this morning and you said, I'm going to relieve myself of this burden. Christian, in that great, wonderful, classic Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, he carried a burden on his back. And everywhere he went, he took that burden with him. And every time he got up, he reached down and he took the burden and put it back on his back. Are you like that this morning? Does God, the Holy Spirit, speak to you and you feel relieved that you can release the burden that binds you and carries you and stoops you very low in spirit? And the sad part about it is when you get up this morning, many of you will pick up your burden and take it with you wherever you go. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, I have been revealed to you. I will do what is necessary to help you and strengthen you. And God says, that's all that I can do for you. All through the scripture, you will understand that God does not force himself on anyone. He will not force his will on me. God doesn't want a robot. He wants people, individuals just like you and me, that will worship him of our free will. God gave us a will. God gave us a will to either receive him or to reject him. The choice is ours. As a child of God, we can stand before the Lord and we can say, Lord, I have this problem. I have this weakness. You have said that I have not because I ask not. And so I come to you this morning, dear Lord, in the quietness of this hour, and I ask you, O God, first of all, examine my life. See what is there that is not needful. See what is there that causes a wall to become between you and me. Reveal to me in my life what drops down from me to heaven and cuts off the blessings of God. Speak, dear Lord. And I will quietly listen. I will listen very intently to hear the voice of God through the blessed Holy Spirit speak to my heart. You will not see a flash of lightning. You will not hear a clap of thunder. You will not hear the roar, but you will hear the still, small voice of God. And he will speak to you like none other has ever spoken to you before. And when you hear him, you can say, God, you have spoken to me, and here I am. What would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say? I'm yours. I am committed to you. I am submitted. You know, when you commit, you make a decision. When you submit, you take all holds off of anything about your life. You cannot lay hold to anything about you, yourself, or your possessions, or anything. You have submitted all to him. You see, we hear some people that teach that you can must pray for the Holy Spirit. What an insult to God. What an insult. Jesus said, I send you the Holy Spirit. You will be possessed of the Holy Spirit. He will come and abide in you. You know, when I got married, now listen to this. When I got married, my wife's father answered the pastor and said, I will give this woman to this man. And so we had the ceremony. Now, in everything in front of witnesses, I have received my wife. But what if I begin to receive her in parts? So I say, well, today I got an arm and leg, and I'm going to pray next week that I get the other arm and leg. And then I pray, Lord, sometime give me the head. No, I do not have to do that because I have already been given my wife. All complete. Good or bad, she's there. She's all mine. And God says, that's the way I do. I give you my Holy Spirit. He comes to abide in you. You do not have to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. He is not divided in arms and legs and heads and shoulders. He comes to you complete. But I must pray this kind of prayer. Fill my life, dear God, with your Spirit. Possess everything about me. Fill me to the full. Let everything I do be done in decency and order and in pleasing to God, because the Spirit of the living God lives in my life. We are taught that our body is the tabernacle of the Lord. We are God's temple. And God said, he that destroyeth or ruineth my temple, I will deal with him personally. Now think about that. I get missionary letters, and they talk about what they do. The other day I got a publication from a group that is very dear to me in this, and they were interviewing missionary wives, just wanting to know, what does your day go like? You're a missionary. Many of these are very young women. They're in foreign fields. They're in places that they don't know anything about. Sometimes they wonder what is coming next. Wade and Lori can tell you about that. You're there at the mercy of the Lord. Lord, we don't understand the language. We don't understand the culture. What do I do? And some of them have little children. And it was such a blessing to me. One young wife said, I set my alarm for 3 o'clock every morning, regularly. And I get up, and I have me a cup of coffee, and I sit and have my quiet time. And I pray about so many things. I read the scripture. I sing a song. I have a companion called the hymnal, and I read some of the great hymns, and they speak to my heart. And I read the Word of God, and I pray for myself. I pray for my children, and I pray for my husband. We're in a strange place. Lord, we need your presence. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. I'm here. Can you imagine that? That's why God calls people like that to the mission field. They have decided a long time ago the best thing to do is trust our life to the life of God, to his power. He will do us good. And then thirdly, God reveals that what he will do in you and me. There is nothing that is so wonderful as to know that God will use us. Look at John chapter 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, this is Jesus, nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And this is why he sends him to us. He says when he comes, he's going to work through you. He is going to work in the world. And you will observe if you are in touch with me and in my fellowship as a child of God, you will see what he does. Look what he says in verse number 8. And when he, that is the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now the Greek says that word, reprove, has several meanings. It has the meaning of convincing or conviction. And that's what we know the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit convicts people that are not saved of their sin that they're living in. He convicts them and convinces them that they need a Savior. Do you understand that when we received Christ, we did not jump up one morning and say, this is the day I'm going to be saved, and then we fall on our face and ask God to save us? It doesn't happen that way. I'll tell you how it happens. The Holy Spirit comes to you, even when you're lost. And he begins to woo you. And he begins to bring things to your mind. And he begins to convince you that you need a Savior, that you have no hope without a Savior. He uses a song. He uses a message. He uses a scripture verse. He can use your life, and he will draw you to the place where you are convicted that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And how does that happen? You come to receive Christ. You come at that moment when God says, now, you come and I'll receive you. Some have sinned away their day of grace. They have said no so many times. They have grieved the Holy Spirit to a point and to a place where the Holy Spirit cannot do anything for them. They have shut them off. They have said no, like the king in the New Testament said, at some other convenient time, Paul, I'll call on your Lord. And God said, there won't be another time. And perhaps you are that way today. There won't be another time for you, maybe. This might be your last day. But let's go back to another scene. You came and you obeyed what the Holy Spirit revealed to you. You were convicted and convinced, I need a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ. So you came, and in response, you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and become your Savior and forgive you your sin. And you knew then in a moment the presence of the Holy Spirit came into your life. And what did you want to do? You wanted to tell everybody what Jesus Christ had done for us. Been a long time. We've let a lot of days go by. And we've forgotten that wonderful experience when we received Christ. I never shall forget the day when Jesus took my sins away. Have you remembered that lately? Remember right now, would you just take a moment? Speak to yourself and say, boy, that was a great day. I can remember that day. The Lord Jesus saved me on a Thursday evening in my home when the pastor came after I'd been to his services. I knew I needed to be saved. And you know what I did the next day? I didn't go to church or anything. This was all new to me. The next day I went out to about 40 carpenters and painters and everything, and I said to them, just out of my heart, what did you do last night? And I said, I got saved. I received Jesus as my Savior. I was glad. I was happy. But days dimmed that wonderful moment when we got saved. Perhaps you're like that this morning. You know, the Bible tells us that we can come to a place where God will quit reproving sin through us. That is, he will stop convicting and convincing people through us. Look at what else he says. He said, I will convince the world of sin. I will convince the world of righteousness. That's why you and I must live our life to please God. We must watch our P's and Q's, so to speak. We must be careful what we say. We must be careful where we go. We must be careful what we do. We must be careful who we associate with. By the way, every place we go, now listen to this, every place we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Everything we read, the Holy Spirit is there. Everything we look at, the Holy Spirit is there. Every conversation we have, he's there. Every dirty joke that we might be a part of, he is there. Everything that we do that is a detriment and we know it's completely opposed to what God stands for, we are taking the Holy Spirit, the sinless person of the Godhead, and he's having to endure that. What a shame. I look at my life sometime and I can just hang my head and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Help me. And then he does a third thing. He convinces people of judgment to come. Of judgment, Jesus said, because the prince of this world must be judged. That tells me that if you are following after the things of the world, you are fulfilling the desire of Satan. You say, but I'm saved. Yes, but unless you're following one of two persons, you're either following God or you're following your flesh, which is sinful, and that's a victory for the devil. You're here this morning, you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. I know the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit and how He works. He has been speaking to your heart this morning, and He has been saying to you, you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know you. God knows you, and He's saying to you, there may not be another time. This may be the last moment that God would allow you to say no. So you must consider that, my friend. You're here today, and you say, Jay, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Not a doubt in my mind. But you know there's something in your life that holds you back. And that one thing is a wall between you and your God. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the time you should give it up. This is the moment that you should yield to me and not to the desires of the flesh. And so I've not come to beat you over the head. I've not come to force you. I have come to give you a way and to show you what God wants to do for you. When our dear brother Bill Jackson just recently lost his sweet wife Brenda, maybe some of you did not know her. She was a very special Christian lady. And you know, as he sat there day by day by her bed and watched her slowly slip from this life, you know what? The blessed Holy Spirit was with him. And He comforted him because He loved him. Christian friend, when you're going through a trial of tribulation, a heartache, a grief, the Holy Spirit loves you and He speaks to your heart. And when you become wayward, when we say no and we reject the will of God for our life, He loves us. It seems like He loves us more. He will bring scriptures to our heart. He will bring us under the sound of the preaching to convict us. He will bring a Christian alongside of us to encourage us or to question us about our life. And God, He does that because God loves you. And He loves me. And He loves you this morning. And all I ask you to do this morning, respond to God's love. He's waiting for your response. May we stand together for prayer. I want our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Will you just quietly now, before we have the invitation, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you just say, Lord, I'm convinced You are my Savior because I received You. And would you say, Lord, I want the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. I yield myself to You this morning. God, I want to submit my all to You. Lord, I'm not saved today, and I feel the tugging power of the Holy Spirit saying to me, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Would you do that today? While we wait up on You, dear Heavenly Father, may You have Your will and way in the lives and hearts of individuals right now. May the blessed Holy Spirit do His work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.